Hare Krishna.
So, we are going to be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, Text 3. As you may realize, we are nearing the end of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Did I say first canto? The first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are towards the end, and this is the last chapter, titled as The Appearance of Sukadeva Goswami. So today's verse is as follows.
Adhyaiva Rajyam Balavriddha Kosham. Adhyaiva Rajyam Balavriddha Kosham. Prakopita Brahma Kula Nalome. Prakopita Brahma Kula Nalome. Dahatva Bhadrasya Punar Name Bhu. Rajyam Balamriddha Kosham. Prakopita Brahma Kula Nalome. Dahatva Bhadrasya Punar Name Bhut. Papi Yasidhi Dvija Deva Kobhya. Adhyaiva Rajyam Balamriddha Kosham. Prakopita Brahma Kula Nalome. Dahatva Bhadrasya Punar Name Bhut. Papi Yasidhir Dvija Deva Gopya.
This day, Eva, on the way, Rajyam, kingdom, Balamriddha, strength and riches, Kosham, treasury, Prakopita, ignited by Brahmakula, by the Brahmana community, Analaha, fire, me, not me, sorry. Medhatu. Let it burn me. Abhadrasya. Inauspiciousness. Puna. Again. Na. Not. May. Unto me. Abhut. May occur. Papi yasi. Sinful. Dhi. Intelligence. Dvija. Brahmanas. Deva. Supreme Lord. Gopya. And the cows. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Yes. I am uncivilized and sinful due to my neglect of Brahminical culture. God consciousness and cow protection. I am uncivilized and sinful for three reasons. One is due to my neglect of Brahminical culture, due to my neglect of God consciousness, and ignoring cow protection. Therefore, I wish that my kingdom, strength, and riches burn up immediately by the fire of the Brahmana's wrath, so that in the future I may not be guided by such inauspicious attitudes. Therefore, I wish that my kingdom, strength and riches burn up immediately by the fire of the Brahmana's wrath, so that in the future I may not be guided by such inauspicious attitudes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Progressive human civilization is based on Brahminical culture, God consciousness, and protection of cows. All economic development of the state by trade, commerce, agriculture, and industries must be fully utilized in relation to the above principles. Otherwise, all so-called economic development becomes a source of degradation. Cow protection means feeding the Brahminical culture, which leads towards God consciousness, and thus perfection of human civilization is achieved. The age of Kali aims at killing the higher principles of life, and although Maharaj Parikshit strongly resisted the domination of the personality of Kali within the world, the influence of the age of Kali came at an opportune moment, and even a strong king like Maharaj Parikshit was induced to disregard the Brahminical culture due to a slight provocation of hunger and thirst. Maharaj Parikshit lamented the accidental incident, and he desired that all his kingdom, strength and accumulation of wealth would be burned up for not being engaged in Brahminical culture, etc. Where wealth and strength are not engaged in the advancement of Brahminical culture, God consciousness and cow protection, the state and home are surely doomed by providence. If we want peace and prosperity in the world, we should take lessons from this verse. Every state and every home must endeavor to advance the cause of Brahminical culture for self-purification, God consciousness for self-realization, and cow protection for getting sufficient milk and the best food to continue a perfect civilization.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripa Tammaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivatadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Narayanam Namaskritya
Narayanam Namaskritya
Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Tho Jayamudhiraye
Tho Jayamudhiraye
Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu
Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke
Bhaktir Bhavatir Naishtiki
Bhaktir Bhavatir Naishtiki
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I am uncivilized and sinful due to my neglect of Brahminical culture, God consciousness and cow protection. Therefore, I wish that my kingdom, my strength and riches burn up immediately by the fire of the Brahmana's wrath, so that in the future I may not be guided by such inauspicious attitudes. So, as we were discussing before the verse, this is the last chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is titled as Creation. So the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with how many subject matters? 10 subject matters. The first one is called as Sarga. Sarga means creation. So we are coming to the end of the first canto, which is called as creation. Primary creation. There are two types of creation, Sarga and Visarga. Sarga is primary creation and Visarga is secondary creation. Lord Krishna is the cause of the primary creation or the Sarga. And Lord Brahma is the cause of the secondary creation called as Visarga. But most of mankind doesn't know this. Therefore, they think Lord Brahma is the creator. But he is only the creator of the secondary creation, not the primary creation. So this chapter is coming to an end and we are at the 19th chapter. The appearance of Sukadeva Goswami. So let's give a very brief context before we get into the theme of today's verse. The context is Maharaj Parikshit, a great king, a great emperor, who was following the principles of Varnashrama Dharma. What to speak of following? He was evangelizing the cause of Varnashrama Dharma in society. He established Varnashrama Dharma. He was a perfect king who is to perfectly know how to respect the cows, the brahmanas, the women, the elderly. He was a perfect king in all respects. Now this perfect Maharaj Parikshit one day went to a forest. In the forest he was thirsty. He was looking for water. He entered the kutir of a particular sage, a brahmana's kutir, he entered. And when he entered, he found that this brahmana, whose name was Samikarishi. Okay. So he was sitting, I'm poor with names, so I have to look at my wife to remind me about names. So he was sitting in rapt meditation, completely oblivious of the fact that Maharaj Parikshit had entered his kutir. Now who is Maharaj Parikshit? The emperor of the universe. When he enters, then obviously, you know, he is used to getting respect everywhere, wherever he goes. Now the sage was completely unaware, so he was just continuing his meditation and Maharaj Parikshit was actually very thirsty. So he wanted water. So in the spur of the moment, he felt humiliation. The spur of the moment, that this person did not respect me. And in a fit of supposed rage, we'll come to that later, he saw a dead snake, a serpent nearby. He picked it up and he garlanded the rishi and walked away. Now the rishi did not even know that there was a dead serpent. So if I were chanting, at least someone puts a dead serpent, I'll definitely, you know, even otherwise, even someone doesn't put a dead serpent, you know, I am not attentive in chanting. Okay. But this person was so attentive in his meditation, with a dead serpent, he did not even realize what was going on. So he left it. And Maharaj Parikshit also put that and he said, okay, forget it. He left. Now, the brahmana's son was playing somewhere with his friends nearby, near some river or some lake. His friends told him that such an incident has happened. And when the son heard, he had not even visited his father. He simply heard. Immediately he cursed. He started cursing the leaders of society. How degraded the leaders have become. They have become totally insensitive. And how can they do this? in modern day society, the Shudras are above the Brahmanas. But in olden days, the Brahmanas were above the Kshatriyas also. What to speak of the Shudras? Of course, in Kali Yuga, there are no two Brahmanas anyway. There are no true Shudras also, in fact. Shudras means a person who works at the instruction of others. So everyone works for himself now. And works for Brahmanas. But nobody is working for... There is no Brahmana, there is no Shudra also today. So metaphorically, we can say somewhat people are Shudra mentality. So, the way that the Brahmana's son is cursing Maharaj Parikshit is interesting. He is saying that how can the Kshatriyas not respect the Brahmanas? Which means inherently there is a feeling that the Brahmanas are higher than the Kshatriyas. And Kshatriyas were seen as lower to Brahmanas. So his choice of words is very significant here. He is depicting that culture when he is doing this curse. So he curses Maharaj Parikshit that he will die in 7 days by the bite of a snake serpent. And then he comes to the kutir and then he sees his father. Again, his father is in rapt attention. And then when he sees his father, his emotions swell up. Because who is the person who's the person meditating? My father. How dare someone insult my father? So that emotion is coming up. And then he starts crying. And then immediately, you know, when the son starts crying, then the father is shaken up. So immediately he comes out of his meditation. And then he asks, what happened? And then he tells him that there is a dead serpent which Maharaj Parikshit has put on your neck. And I have cursed him that he will die in 7 days of the bite of a takshak or a snake bird. Now, ordinarily what will someone do? He'll say, very good, my dear son. Yes, you have to avenge your father's insult. That's the goal of your life. I read in one newspaper recently that there was a movie in India called as... what is his name? Can't remember the name. I forgot. Okay. There was a movie which was released. This was about... it was called as some Tomar Singh something. Anyone knows? Pan Singh Tomar. Yes. Bollywood movie. Pan Singh Tomar. When I went for my yatra last year, I saw this poster everywhere. I think even in Mayapur I saw the poster. Pan Singh Tomar. That movie. Supposedly a very, you know, popular movie. The basis of that movie is how a person who was in the army, who was protecting the country, when he retired from the army and came home, he was a very nice person. He was a Kshatriya, protecting the country, nation like that. He came home, he wanted to just settle down with his retired money. How somebody in the village cheated that person of his money and slapped his mother. Pan Singh Tomar's mother. Now that one incident that this person slapped his mother became the goal of his life to avenge that. Because my mother, someone slapped. So he went and killed that person who slapped his mother and went to jail. This is the story of Pan Singh Tomar. Okay. Now you see here, the son is there, the father is there. And then the son is saying that, the son is crying. Which father can see the tears of the son? Son is crying and father has been insulted also. But how does this Brahmana react? It's amazing. It's very easy to read it in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But if it happens in our lives, I don't know how I'll react. If someone puts a dead serpent on my neck. And then walks away. And then my son Aditya comes and tells me, Daddy, someone put a dead serpent. I wouldn't be in that situation because my chanting is not so attentive. But still. So the sage immediately disapproves of his son. He says, what have you done? What have you done, my dear son? You have cursed a person who is a Mahatma. How can you curse such a personality? You don't know who he is. That's a very different kind of consciousness. When you are insulted by someone, at the spur of the moment, instinctively itself, you don't feel anything, any insult. Sometimes for us, when someone insults us, immediately it swells up. And then we remember, no, Maharaj has said. But what's our instinct? Our instinct is it comes up first. The monster comes up in the tongue and then we swallow it. No. It's all Prabhu ki ichha. No, like that. But his instincts were like that. So that is what a Mahatma is. His instincts are never to take any offense. Which is actually what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs us. Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahi. Do not expect any respect from others, but give all respect to others, even if they insult you. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names constantly. Only in such a state of mind. So the Brahmana here is exemplifying Trinadapi Sunichana principle. So this entire section is an excellent window, if you like, to analyze the character, analyze the personalities, the qualities of different people who are coming in this so-called drama. I'll explain why I'm saying drama later on. So, let's take the Brahmana's son first. What was his response to the situation? Was it proactive or was it reactive?
It was reactive.
Immediately, how dare someone did this to my father? Curse it. Finished. Reactive. Someone insult, you see something happening and you start cursing. Immediately. Bad words start coming out of your mouth. That is reactive. But what is proactiveness? Stephen Covey, the famous management author, says that proactiveness means the ability to choose one's response in any situation. You choose a response. Now you can't choose if your mind is bewildered. You can only choose when your mind is clear enough to think that it has a choice in a situation. To react this way or that way. Otherwise you can't choose. You have already blurted out. You have responded immediately. So proactiveness means ability to choose one's response. Of course, because we are talking of Krishna consciousness, ability to choose one's response using Shastra as a Pramana, not our mind as a reference point. Using the scriptures, using the words of spiritual master, using that as a basis to choose our response in every situation that we face in life. So the Brahmana's son is reactive. He is showing impulsive anger. And this impulsive anger is a sign of a neophyte, immature person. Even a devotee, for that matter. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, neophyte means always fight. Quick to retort. Give it back. His Holiness Adhanath Maharaj often tells that there are two dogs within us. One is the good dog and the bad dog. In every situation, we have to decide or choose our response. Whether we feed the good dog or we feed the bad dog. If we feed the bad dog, response is going to be like a bad dog. Often we see that we cannot tolerate others' follies. We cannot tolerate sometimes the imperfections of others. Because we think we are perfectionist. Like that. In this regard, again, His Holiness Radhana Swami often says that there are two types of consciousness one can have. One is called as the consciousness of a bumblebee, and the other is the consciousness of a fly. What is the difference between the consciousness of a bumblebee and that of a fly? If you go to a botanical garden, if you go to a botanical garden, it's supposed to be a beautiful place, right? Of course, I'm talking about Indian botanical gardens. I'm not talking about the one in Australia. In India, anything happens, even in a botanical garden. Okay, you will see someone sitting under a tree with a lota also in a botanical garden for doing his natural activities of the morning. Right? So if you go to a botanical garden in India, for example, and then if a fly is coming into the botanical garden, there are such beautiful flowers on which you can suck nectar. But the fly, what does it do? It ignores all those flowers and then it goes and sucks the juice of the human excreta. Instinctively it goes there only, despite beautiful flowers being there. But what does a bumblebee do? You go to a garbage, a trash. Sometimes flowers come out of that. The bumblebee goes into the garbage, but it ignores all the garbage and it looks at that one good quality inside the garbage and then sucks the juice from that, sucks the nectar from that flower. So he always gives this example. So that is a consciousness which the Brahmana is actually displaying. Immediately he is glorifying Maharaj Parikshit. He is completely oblivious to the fact that he has been insulted. He is ignoring that aspect. Whereas the son is quick to retort. So reactivity means that we are driven by our perceptions of things. That may not be the reality. Reaction means a person who is driven by his perceptions is reactive typically. Let me give an example. This is very, very profound one. Maybe some of you have already heard it, but it really touched my heart, this example. Once, in India, you have these trains, you know, Baramati Express, you know, which will keep on going for 2 days, you know, from some one place to another place, you know. So, one day what happened, and you know the typical three-tier compartment, you know, there are 3 seats here, there are 3 seats here, then there are people sitting on top also, you know, like that. So, these people were traveling, and there was a father. This father was around 70 years old. And then there was his son who was around 30, 33 years old, around that age. They were traveling. The son was sitting in the window seat. And he was looking outside. How old was the son? 33. He was looking outside. And the father was sitting next to him. And then the people were sitting across. Now the son was looking very enthusiastically and intently outside the window. No, he was looking at everything. And he was saying, "Daddy, tree, tree, tree. Daddy, cow, cow, cow. Daddy, rain, rain, rain." You know, he was saying like this. Now, what will you think if a 33-year-old man does that in a train? "Daddy, train, train. Another train is going." He said, "Shh, shh, shh." What will you do? What will you think? Anyone 33 years old here? Around 33? Okay. Now, if Bhakti Sar Prabhu does that, what will you think? "Train, train, train. Oh, rain, rain, rain." You know, like that. What do you think? Something is seriously wrong with this person. The people opposite were exactly getting the same impression. Something is seriously wrong with this guy here. They told the father, "Can you get him out of this train, please? We are getting sick. You know, we have tolerated now. Get him out of the train." So then the father did not respond. But when they really got, you know, almost violent with this guy, they were fed up with this guy. Then the father told them, "Please be patient with my son. Only yesterday night he has got his eyesight back since his birth. He was blind since his birth. He has just had an operation only yesterday. He is able to see the world and relate to what he has always heard and imagined. That's why he is doing this." Now when he said that, the hearts of people melted. Oh my God. The response was completely different after that. "Oh, no problem. Don't worry, we understand." Because they all have their own sons. Now you see the same situation through a different lens. Whatever perceptions you had before, based on which you did not choose your response properly, now those perceptions have completely changed. And now you are having a different premise for being able to understand what's happening in front of you. So this is how we become colored, and that we become reactive and responsible and judgmental about someone. We never understand the other person's context at all. So this is called as, these paradigms take us away from getting the love of Lord Krishna and lead us to Vaishnava Parada. So a neophyte devotee, the characteristic of a neophyte devotee is, a neophyte devotee always dwells on others' imperfections and fails to notice their perfections. And therefore stop learning from them. So the Brahmana's son's consciousness was like that. Father's consciousness was, we already discussed a bit of how the father's consciousness was completely opposite to the son. Yesterday in our Milpark Makhirusha program, one lady, she had come for the first time to the program. But for the first time, she asked a very good question. Usually people don't ask this question in the first program that they are attending. She asked, "How do we know we are advancing in bhakti?" Now, how many people in the first program will ask this question? People usually ask, "What is the goal of life?" or whatever. They don't even ask that actually. They come with their own opinions first. There are no questions in the first class. There are only answers from them. So, how do we know we are advancing in Krishna consciousness? So, there are many aspects. how we know we are advancing in Krishna consciousness. But one key aspect of our advancement in Krishna consciousness is depicted by the Brahmana, which is our ability to pardon someone under any situation. Our ability to pardon is reflects our own internal purity. That is one symptom of our own advancement. How much are we tolerant of others' imperfections and how others are? Himalila yesterday was discussing with me from a lecture that she is hearing. So, in that, one, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj is lecturing, and towards the end of the lecture, there is one Mataji, she is a very senior, respected devotee in the congregation. Towards the end of the class, she asks a question to Maharaj. Her question is, Maharaj, and she is a very senior devotee, like, you know, almost a counselor type person. Who has served Maharaj for many years, and everyone knows that Maharaj is very pleased with her service. Everyone knows that it's a given in the temple. Still, she asks a question to Maharaj. She asks, Maharaj, sometimes we serve to please our spiritual master, but we want to be so perfect and pakka in our service to the spiritual masters. We do everything, we want to do the best, but in the process, then we rub lot of people. But Maharaj, the desire was to please spiritual master. So how do we understand this? So Maharaj responded to her saying that, yes, you're right. On one level, the spiritual master will be pleased with you. But on another level, he will not be pleased with you. Yes, your desire is there, you want to please the spiritual master, you are doing so much service, you have made nice idli, sambar, dosa, everything for the spiritual master, first class prasadam, he is very happy with your service. But having rubbed so many others who your spiritual masters love, then he is unhappy on that plane. And then he mentioned, please correct me if I am quoting it incorrect, something like this he mentioned, that spiritual master is most pleased if we definitely serve nicely, but we also encourage others in their service to their spiritual master. He is very pleased if we do that. Facilitating others to serve our spiritual master may be much better than what we are doing, is much more pleasing, because that is what is servant of servant. Otherwise it's a, no, nowhere it is said that the goal of life is to be the excellent servant of Lord Krishna. No. The goal of the life is to be what? The servant of the servant of the servant. Not an excellent servant. Yes, we have to have excellence. No doubt about our service. But excellence in the mood of servant of servant. Not that I am excellent. Why are you not so excellent? No, not like that. So that, so he corrected that mood. I thought that answer was very, very profound. So on one plane the spiritual master is pleased, on another he is not. Expecting perfection from others and being intolerant of others' imperfections because we have some ability is a symptom of pride. Whereas facilitating others to come up to our level, maybe Krishna has given us some abilities, maybe someone can sing very nicely, someone can cook very nicely, but facilitating others to become as good as what Lord has given you abilities, so that they can then serve Lord Krishna, is a higher consciousness. And that actually is the perfection of the excellence in that particular ability. Facilitating others. Bhakti Tirth Swami Maharaj's life. Very interesting example. Again, this is from His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj's lecture on Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj's life. This lecture went on. This is probably one of the longest lectures in ISKCON. It went on from morning to evening. No one got up. Such is the life of Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Such are his glories. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj gave a very interesting realization to all of us and also to his own disciples that devotional life is not about being project oriented. In office we are all project oriented and not people oriented. It's not the person, it's a task,
which is important, you know. We are bombarded constantly with this, you know. But here, in devotional life, it's opposite. It's not the task, it is the person. Whatever excellence that we achieve, if it is the cost of hurting someone who Krishna loves, he is not going to accept our service. In fact, in our house, in one of the cupboards, we have pasted one quotation where Maharaj says that remembrance of the Lord is an absolute necessity. However, such remembrance has to be pleasing to the Lord. We have to remember the Lord in a way that it pleases Him. He has to like our remembrance of Him. Which means what? That means when we are doing our services by remembering Him, we should also be very sensitive to other devotees. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj was probably one of the best book distributors in ISKCON. The kind of book distribution that he has done, the kind of risks he has taken, you know, in his life, few people can do such things. He was highly empowered by Srila Prabhupada and highly dear to Srila Prabhupada as well. So Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, one day someone told him that in your Sankirtan group, you know, other people are feeling a bit frustrated and depressed about their own self because they are not able to keep up with the level of book distribution that you are able to do. So they are feeling a bit demotivated. When they see you, they feel, oh my God, I can never achieve this target. So they are feeling a bit demotivated. Immediately Maharaj realized that my excellence is coming in the way of someone else's motivation. And immediately Maharaj addressed the situation very nicely. What I remember from that lecture was that he got a bit more sober in his book distribution. So it was not about excelling and then doing more books and then taking an award as, you know, highest book distributor. It was about facilitating others also, helping them to lift their game to where you are. If for that reason you have to take a step below, then do it. That was his mood. So, bhakti is all about teamwork. Another very interesting example that Yamunalila told me, you know, yesterday about this teamwork. Again, this is from, sorry to quote, but it's again from His Holiness Adana Swami Maharaj's lectures, because I just heard it and saying this. Don't mind. He was lecturing on one yatra or somewhere. He was lecturing in Vrindavan or somewhere, and he was lecturing on the glory of the bumblebee and the flowers in Goloka. He said that the flowers are trying to produce more and more nectar. The flowers are trying to produce more and more nectar. You know why? So that, not directly to please Krishna, so that the bumblebee can suck more and more of those nectar, and then when the bumblebee hovers around Krishna, then that nectar is available. Something like that, right? They make a pleasing sound for the Lord. When the bumblebee has the proper amount of nectar, proper quality of nectar, then it makes a very pleasant sound for the pleasure of the Lord. So the flowers are always thinking, how can I serve the bumblebee better and better? So that the bumblebee can produce nice sounds for the pleasure of the Lord. So this is a very nice example that he gave. In fact, it was a very peculiar situation also. What had happened was, he was glorifying the bumblebee, but what had happened is, some bumblebee had got into his dhoti, you know, when he was lecturing. And he was doing kirtan at that time. And he was saying, you know, later on, I did not know what to do because the bumblebee has entered the dhoti now. Now what to do? I can't stop the kirtan. 3 to 5,000 people are there. And kirtan is picking up now. So he tolerated that. He completed the kirtan, and he brought the kirtan to a very quick and nice closure, and he rushed inside. But then he was glorifying the bumblebee after that. So someone who has bitten you, you are glorifying that person. So again, the Brahmana is showing the same kind of consciousness. Someone who has put a serpent on your neck, you are glorifying that person. So there are great examples of pardoning others who our acharyas have talked about. One of the greatest examples is Srila Haridas Thakur, who pardoned the Muslims though they beat him in, how many marketplaces was that? 22 marketplaces, correct? Yeah. And Jesus Christ is a brilliant example of pardon. The people who he was trying to save, they crucified him. And then what did he say? Jesus Christ harbored no enmity against them. He said, please pardon them, for they do not know what they are doing. In fact, he wanted to take the sins of the whole world on him. What a great example Lord Jesus Christ is of pardoning the offenses of others. So these are great personalities who have come. The Son of God himself came and showed us the way, how to live. There are three natures which all of us have. Our pure nature is called as our constitutional nature. What's our constitutional nature? Jivera Swarupe Hoy Nityara Krishnadas. That's our constitutional nature. The second nature that we have is called as conditional nature. Conditional nature is because that particular jiva has come in contact with the three modes of material nature, that process, that is called as a conditioned nature, conditioned by the three modes. So, we may operate, ideally we should always operate in our constitutional nature. That's how a pure devotee operates. But practicing devotees vacillate between conditional nature and constitutional nature. Sometimes there, sometimes here. Right? But there is a third nature which is called as circumstantial nature. A person, circumstantial nature is the response of a person only under a particular situation. That's all. Normally that person is not like that. This is a third nature which we have to understand in some people. For example, someone who is always a very sober personality can occasionally get angry. But it's not that that person got angry. I had high respect for this person. Now I lost all my respect for this. Quickly the mind starts telling all these things. Okay? Condemn this fellow. You know? It was just in 1,000 instances, in one instance the person has behaved like that. This is called as a circumstance. And it can afflict anyone. And we can see Maharaj Parikshit, just in the previous chapter we saw how he was trying to even be merciful to Kali by giving Kali a place to sit in his kingdom. He was protecting the bull and the cow. Glories were spoken of Maharaj Parikshit, how he was protective of the Brahmanas. And the same Maharaj Parikshit, in the spur of a moment, circumstantial nature, he was hungry, he was thirsty, and then he put a snake, garlanded with a dead snake. And immediately the Brahmana's son was judgmental on such a personality. So, this is something we have to understand, these three natures. If we understand that devotees are fallible, sometimes they can make mistakes, then that in that realization, it will help us to be able to respond to a external situation with far greater maturity than if we did not have this knowledge. Or if we have to respond in a reactive way. The other quality which this Brahmana is showing is, in English there is a proverb which says, blood is thicker than water. Which means what? That means sometimes we like to overlook the mistakes. If the mistakes have been committed by my son, my daughter, my sister, my brother, my mother. So, blood is thicker than water. But here we see that the moment the Brahmana's son tells him that I have cursed Maharaj Parikshit, the father expresses complete displeasure of what his son has done. Immediately, he says. So, which means that the father is demonstrating a quality which is completely outside of the bodily platform and which has got no bearing on bodily relationships. Immediately, he is quick to correct his son. No, you are wrong. You should not have done that. So, very wonderful qualities are being demonstrated. In fact, if you see a thread very nicely, if you see this pastime, if we remember, and go to the next chapter, which is 2.1 of Srimad Bhagavatam, next canto, first chapter, Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj continues in the mood where he says this verse, Deha Patya Kalatra Adishu Atma Saineshva Satvapi Tesham Pramatto Nidhanam Pashyanapi Na Pashyati. He says that people are too attached to Deha Apatya Kalatra Adishu, my wife, my children, my household, right? So there is a nice thread which you see. Here the Brahmana is showing that mood, and there Sukadeva Maharaj is cautioning Maharaj Parikshit that look, people are too much attached to these things like that. The next theme, which is the final theme of today's passage,
is the sincere repentance of Maharaj Parikshit, which you see here on your verse. So one hand is the Brahmana's son, other is the Brahmana, and third is Maharaj Parikshit. Now Maharaj Parikshit is sincerely repenting. What does he say? Just see this sentence, how profound his repentance is. I am uncivilized and sinful due to my neglect of Brahminical culture, for having put that serpent on his neck. I am uncivilized because I don't have Brahminical culture. I am not God conscious, and I have not protected the cows. Therefore I wish that my kingdom, strength and riches burn up immediately by the fire of the Brahmana's wrath, so in the future I may not be guided by such inauspicious attitudes. This is a really profound statement in the fire of repentance. So let us understand a little bit about this aspect, this mood of Maharaj Parikshit. There are four stages which we traditionally go through if we were to truly correct ourselves in this lifetime for whatever we have done. The first stage is the stage of acceptance, where many times I also struggle. Accepting that first of all I have done a mistake. You know, what we say? No, that's all right, but. This but comes in the place every now and then. But I did this. But it was like that. My situation was like this. So getting rid of the buts in our life. So acceptance of our mistakes. The second is having accepted sincere repentance. Sometimes we accept, okay, I have done wrong. Alright. Don't keep on poking at it again and again. You told me once, look, I apologize to you. Don't keep on poking that again and again. So this is another way of responding. You are accepting it, but there is no sincere repentance of that. So acceptance, sincere repentance. Sometimes sincere repentance also there. But there is nothing done to rectify that. So the third stage is what? Quick rectification. Acceptance, repentance, rectification. And finally, realization derived out of that. To share with others, look, I did this nonsense, you don't do this. So that others are proactive in their response, where you have not been. Sharing our learnings. That's a realization. So here we see that the first four verses of this chapter, this is the third verse we are doing, it talks about how Maharaj Parikshit is demonstrating all these qualities. Acceptance, repentance, rectification and realization. Let's just go quickly, I'll read the translation only for you. The first verse, Sri Suta Goswami said, while returning home, the king, Maharaj Parikshit, felt that the act he committed against the faultless and powerful Brahmana was heinous and uncivilized. Consequently, he was distressed. This is one sign of acceptance that I have done something wrong. That you are distressed. I can't live with my own mind. I have done something wrong. Mind gives you distress. First sign of acceptance. Let's see further. Second verse. Due to my neglecting the injunctions of the Supreme Lord, I must certainly expect some difficulty to overcome me in the near future. I now desire without reservation that the calamity come now. For in that way, I may be freed of the sinful actions and not commit such an offense again. So he is showing this acceptance, sincere repentance, and he doesn't want to do it again. Third, which you saw here. I am uncivilized and sinful due to my neglect of Brahminical culture, God consciousness and cow protection. Therefore, let my kingdom, strength and riches burn up immediately by the fire of the Brahmana's wrath, so that in future I may not be guided by such inauspicious attitude. This is the third statement. And the fourth, while the king was thus repenting, he received news of his imminent death, which we will do tomorrow, which would be due to the bite of a snake bird, occasioned by the curse spoken by the sage's son. The king accepted this as good news. He accepted the death as good news. How many of us can accept that? You know, doctor says you are going to die, major problem, big disease, next 7 days left.
We'll say, oh, very good news.
Will we tell the doctor like that? Isn't it? So he saying, he accepted it as good news. For it would be, for this death would be the cause of his indifference towards material things. So he's seeing an opportunity here. Excellent mood this is. So we see that he is demonstrating acceptance, sincere repentance, quick rectification, and also he is sharing his realizations. Now his realization is coming up. How Krishna conscious he is for accepting death in this manner. That it is the end of his material attachments. Like that. So there are several aspects that are interesting in this situation. Now if you see, His Grace Gurijan Prabhu, he brings out brilliantly, this particular section in his treatise called as Unveiling His Lotus Feet, which is his commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, please pardon me, I may not be able to repeat half as well as what he has written, but I'll try something, I just studied it yesterday, his commentary on this. Gurijan Prabhu writes that, observe his prayer. What's his prayer? Again, let's meditate. He says, therefore I wish that my kingdom burn up immediately. So, Gurijan Prabhu catches that sentence. When I read it, I missed it completely. Beautifully he caught it. He says, look at his prayer. Was he praying responsibly or irresponsibly here? I'll say irresponsibly. Who put the serpent? Who put the serpent on the Brahmana's neck? Mahalakshmi. Why his kingdom should suffer for that? So he's praying that the kingdom suffers because his kingdom contains Brahmanas also. Why they should bear for his mistake? Okay, this is what my mind also told me. That he was praying irresponsibly. Then I read Gurijan Prabhu and immediately I got the answer to that. So Gurijan Prabhu writes that this question can come. So Srila Jiva Goswami has commented on this verse. Srila Jiva Goswami says that Maharaj Parikshit did not actually want his kingdom to burn up. He's saying that, but actually he's not, when he says kingdom, he's not talking about burning up of his kingdom. He's talking about, when he says his kingdom, he's talking about his supremacy on that kingdom. Let that burn up. He's feeling remorse that what kind of a leader I am. So let my kingdom go away from me. In that mood he's praying. So Jiva Goswami is clarifying this aspect. So we have to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam only through the Acharya's commentaries. Otherwise, with our limited intelligence, it's very difficult. Our mind can take us here and there. So Maharaj Parikshit did not want his kingdom to burn up. Because if the kingdom were to burn up, the Brahmanas would also suffer in that kingdom. Rather than he immediately, that's why the rest of the sentence is important. He says, let the curse fall on him alone. So he becomes bereft of all the comforts that life offers. One such comfort which life offers is having a kingdom. Of which you are the boss. Having subordinates. That's a comfort. It's a subtle comfort, if you like. For the false ego. The people are under me. I am taking care of everyone. So he said, let me get rid of all this. Kingdom, strength, riches, all those things. Which are boosting my false ego. Let it all go away. Then only I will learn from my mistake. He says that. And then Purujan Prabhu comments further. In this situation, how can a soul be so humble, sincere and detached? In what situation? In a situation where you are told you are going to die in 7 days. Sure. And you are the king. How can a person be so humble, sincere and detached? Especially a powerful king. And there Gurijan Prabhu gives the answer to us also. Which is a key learning from this section. The consciousness of a real pure devotee is revealed in this section. Gurijan Prabhu writes that pure devotees live in their relationship with Lord Krishna always. Even in this material world, pure devotees eternally live in their relationship with Krishna even though they are in this material world. Now what does that mean? Gurijan Prabhu gives an excellent, brilliant example of drama. In a drama, the person who is acting on the drama, he is playing his part in the drama. But he does not independently identify with the character of that
drama. He does not independently identify with the drama which is going on in this world. Purujan Prabhu writes that. In a drama, he says, the actor sometimes gets an inheritance of money. And towards the end of the drama, the actor is also stabbed. He gets an inheritance in the drama and then he is also stabbed, this actor. But then at the end of the drama, what happens? He knows that neither has he got an inheritance, neither has he got stabbed. So there is no gain, nor there is any loss. Because when the curtains fall down, he pulls the knife from his back. Okay? And he goes and returns the money to its true owner. Because in the drama, that money was not his, neither was he stabbed in the back. Only a crazy person, Urujan Prabhu writes, only a crazy person will identify with the part that he is playing for the director. An actor wears the costume that we also wear. What's the costume we all are wearing? The material body. But they don't relate to that costume. They have a real life outside the theater. How nice it is. Beautiful realizations of Urujan Prabhu. They have a real life outside the theater. Similarly, devotees are awake to their real eternal life with Lord Krishna and play a part in this world from that perspective. Nimitta matra, just instruments. Oh Lord, treat me whichever way you want. I am yours unconditionally. A devotee's excellence that he plays his part well for Lord Krishna. He is playing the part very excellently, but does not battle an eyelid to quit the drama when the director says, now you quit this drama. Enough of your drama. Good job. Go. So it's almost like this. Maharaj Parikshit's consciousness. He made me the king. He protected me in the womb of my mother. He made me the king. He gave me all this respect and glory. Now, I am getting blasphemed by the son of a brahmana. Right? And I am cursed to die in 7 days. That is also, he is only giving me. So what's the big deal? Let me go. At the end of the day, all I want is to be a part in his, in that director's drama. The eternal supreme director, Lord Krishna. So the role is only being a servant of Lord Krishna. That is the eternal identity. And Guru Jan Prabhu writes that this specific drama, which was starring Maharaj Parikshit as the hero, was staged to orchestrate the speaking of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we have to be very careful in understanding that Maharaj Parikshit, on one hand we may think that he was a victim of his circumstantial nature, but that is also not true here. This is the higher understanding to that also. That he was simply an actor in a larger drama. Because Krishna Svadhama Upagate Dharma Nyan Adivisaha Kalau Nashtra Dushamesha Purana Arka Adhuna Uditaha. After Lord Krishna has departed from this planet, where has Dharma taken shelter? Was a question asked by the sages at Naimisaranya. The answer to that is what? Srimad Bhagavatam. Why did it come about? Because of this event. It was already going to come anyway, because that was ordained by Lord Krishna that I'll leave, but I'll leave the book Bhagavatam, which is not my teachings, which is the guidebook for mankind. So in order to stage this whole drama is being orchestrated. That is the highest understanding of this section. So neither Maharaj Parikshit is wrong, neither the Brahmana's son, nor the Brahmana. Everything is orchestrated by the Lord as a drama. Like that. If we don't do that, if we don't have this proper understanding through Acharya's commentaries, like His Grace Gurujan Prabhu, then we could, you know, end up doing Vaishnava Aparad. Again, this is a very interesting point. Talking about Vaishnava Aparad. Now, garlanding a Brahmana, what is that technically? Vaishnava Aparad. What is the penalty for Vaishnava Aparad? We have always heard this. What happens immediately? We lose devotee association. Right? This is the penalty for Vaishnava Aparad. A person who does constant Vaishnava prat, he gradually loses his association with devotees. He goes out of Krishna consciousness. But what is happening with Maharaj Parikshit after this Vaishnava prat? He is getting the association of Sukadeva Goswami. Not only that, he is getting association of so many sages who are assembled there to hear from Sukadeva Goswami. And who are the people? Narada and all, they are all come and sitting there in the assembly to hear. So his association is actually increased after his Vaishnava prat, if you see. That itself means that this is not tattva which is going on. This is leela which is going on. In the premise of, if you look at tattva, then tattva says that it is Vaishnava prat. But leela says that it is not Vaishnava prat. It is the director who is orchestrating a drama. Like that. So on one level, we see the misfortune of a great king, Maharaj Parikshit. On the other hand, we see the supremacy of the plan and desire of Lord Krishna, who is Swarat, who is independent. He can do whatever he wants. So the learning is, out of this whole section, and again, Purujan Prabhu writes this, that we must develop the habit of seeing Lord Krishna's inscrutable plan. We must develop that habit of seeing his plan. He uses the word inscrutable yet merciful. We cannot understand it, but we must have the faith that whatever it is his mercy. Inscrutable yet merciful plan. Then we will succeed in our spiritual lives. This is true realization. And he says, we must be malleable. Malleable means, can be bent in any form. We must be malleable to Lord Krishna's desire. And then he concludes by saying, from kingship to death in 7 days. From being a king to death in 7 days. Maharaj Parikshit was very quick to learn and demonstrate his realizations in this pastime. Having realized, with such realization, what is his response? He decides to renounce his kingdom, go to the Ganges and meditate on that supreme personality of Godhead. By this we also understand that, and he met Sukadeva Goswami after that, after going to the Ganges. But his response was what? To go to the Ganges and meditate on the Lord. Which means he was already a pure devotee even before he met his spiritual master. So this is the glory of Maharaj Parikshit. So I'll stop here because it's 9 o'clock. I'll ask if any questions, comments or corrections. Some senior devotees assembled here. I had the same question, Prabhu, and I was afraid nobody should ask me this question. You asked me this question. I don't know, Prabhu. I don't know the answer to that question. It will be a good question to ask Gurujan Prabhu. So when he comes here, maybe all of us can ask him. If anyone is there, please ask him. If I am there, I will also ask Gurujan Prabhu. I don't know how to understand this. The same question came to my mind also. Why did Maharaj Parikshit then not go? Because for Vaishnava offense, what is the upaya? The upaya is you have to go to that Vaishnava and beg forgiveness from the Vaishnava. Of course, it is also said, even if the Vaishnava pardons you, the dust of his lotus feet may not pardon him, things like that. So in this context, it's very difficult to understand. But again, I just reconciled my thinking, saying that, okay, it was the Leela. Because if the Brahmana would have pardoned him, then the curse would have been revoked. If the curse was revoked, there is no Srimad Bhagavatam. That is how I understood this, but it's still, we will ask His Grace Gurujan Prabhu for his answer. So, sorry, Prabhu, to disappoint you.
I heard somewhere that Swami Krishna himself went to the kingdom to tell the king that we are going to die in 7 days.
What is that, Swami Krishna?
Swami Krishna went to his kingdom, where King Parikshit's kingdom.
Oh, is it? Okay.
To tell him.
It comes further here.
Yeah.
I forgot. Oh, he sends Hindi. And then what happens after
that? Telling that he is going to die in 7 days.
Okay. Oh, Maharaj Parikshit refuses that. Okay. There you go, Prabhu. Sorry. I forgot that. I studied this section in, I think, 2005. We studied Bhagavatam first canto. So, Kali Yuga memory. Sorry about that. So, does that answer your question? Or it was Maharaj Parikshit's own desire that it not be revoked. That's what I understand. Ramana himself, right?
A little bit more, not spiritual.
In this section? That's all he commented on this section, because then he moves to the other sections, and I don't want to spoil the suspense because tomorrow speaker will. So he gives a brilliant commentary to even the future sections, but I leave it for the next speaker to.
I can't imagine why I appreciate sleeping on that one, waiting for the brown to come to the middle.
I also think that the sun doesn't get offended actually,
and that's an interesting thing.
Because we didn't get offended, any offense.
Thank you for all your realizations. Okay. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yes.